in. That's the youngest piano player we've ever had. I tell you, that was great. That was awesome. Very good. Let's take our Bibles. Turn to James. James chapter 5. Short period here this evening. We are looking at a precious verse of scripture that is not only worth memorizing, but keeping it close to the heart, coming back to it over and over and over again. And we are in James chapter 5, the second half of verse 16. It says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." All right, so this was a few weeks ago. Was this a month ago that we actually looked at this? We need to do a little bit of review. Anybody, well, let's just kind of think, before even just reviewing what we covered a month ago, let's just review a little bit of the book. Remember how this book begins. It is, are the people that James is writing to, are they having a good time? Yeah, all right, good. We got some notes out here. They are going through great trials, persecution, yes. And so we see, just from the very beginning, that the answer to this ultimately is when we lack wisdom, he says, let him ask in faith. Verse 6, let him ask in faith. God wants us to respond to the difficulties we face. The answer is prayer. Come to the end of this book. It comes back to that saying, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. And Mary, let him sing songs. Psalms are prayers to God. Ultimately, the answer to this spiritual or physical weakness that's going on here in this verse is to call the elders so that they may pray. And now we return. We're going to see Elijah as an example of prayer in verses 17 and 18. Or to that, right here, we're seeing this propositional statement, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Remember what the word avail. Yes, it means to be strong, and it has the aspect of coming against something and resisting something. Something's pushing against it, and you're pushing against it, and which one is going to prevail? I want you to think of arm wrestling. I'm not arm wrestling my brother. Who's going to win? Right? Thank you. I know, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly how it's going to happen. So there's this element that we face a situation in our lives where something is pushing against us. Now look at it. What was pushing against Elijah in his day? What was going on in Israel and Elijah? Yes, Ahab and the worship of. So there's an aspect we're going to talk about. I think the main focus of this is you're fighting against sin. You see it, the pressure. You see the pressure on someone that's close to you. You see the pressure in a brother or sister or another. And we have something. Now, so we looked at that, then we kind of looked at what the word effectual. Just remember how we went through the verses on effectual? What did that mean? Got just a little simple. Remember how we turned on the light? Yeah, okay, it is, that's the basis of the word. That is the word from which we get our word energy. Simple phrase that I, in my mind, that just sticks in there is behind this word effectual is it works. There's a power and it works. And so, what's very fascinating about this is we have, and I should say, well, I want to know all about these words. We're going to kind of encompass in what I'm going to talk about. We're going to deal with prayer, we're going to deal with righteous. But the word fervent is actually, this is not that's not all that often. So it's unusual to me that there's actually one Greek word and there's two English. And so behind this, the usage of the word, it goes for the, it leans towards this idea of effectual or working. And they're looking at this as saying, okay, there's something going on be just with this idea behind of energy. It's not just, there's something powerful. So they're trying to capture that idea. I want us to just read some of the verses again, so that you can kind of see where I'm coming from. What has led me to make the interpretation? This word for effectual working, that's effectual fervent. This is all of these references are going to come off of that word. In fact, I have all of the references right here. That almost all of those. And some of them, it is, you can tell it's bad. It's not a good word. It's a bad word. Give you a few of those. In Romans chapter 7, he says, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members. It energized our bodies. That's an aspect. Or in 2 Corinthians 4:12, so then death worketh in us. Or Ephesians 2:2, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the ungodly spirit of Satan. Or the mystery of iniquity that already worked. Clearly, there is an internal empowerment working that is of a negative kind. But let me just drop in a few of these here. This is Herod's description of Jesus' ministry. He says, therefore, mighty works do show forth themselves. And all that show forth and works is all one word. So I can see the mighty working of God, and it's just spilling out of his life. That was his. 1 Corinthians 12:6, the same God which worketh all in all. A few verses later, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit. So where is the Spirit of God working? He is working within us. He is producing the Spirit. It says the same God which worketh all whereat in all. How about this? Galatians 2:8. These are two words here in the same verse. For he, that's God, which wrought effectually, there's our word, in Peter, to the apostleship, to the circumcision. So God's working in Peter, so notice the location of the work, it's internal, and he is the apostle to the Jews. The same God was mighty in me. That same word, effectually. Mighty. In me was the Gentiles. So I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. God's working. Both of us. Ephesians chapter 1. He says, let's go to chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you. Colossians 1:29, I labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, you receive the word of God, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh in us. You're seeing most of the time this type of word is an internal working of God that he is producing. So, here we come into this problem or this question, I think, but I hope that if I can pose the problem correctly, you can see it, then the solution will become apparent in interpretation. He is saying that effectual, it works prayer prevails. If it's effectual prayer, then of course it almost seems like there's a fancy term for this. It's called pathological. Okay, you dress everyone said it. The effectual prayer is effectual. But I think there's something going on here. This kind of effectual, this availing, is the producing result that we see. this kind of effectual care. The kind of prayer that avails is always a work of God. He must work in you to will this kind of prayer. So, as we see this, I want to just tell you some things. Some of this is, I've given you all the meanings of the words. I feel very strongly on the things that I'm saying. At this point, I'm going to kind of part with it. From what I can understand from God working in my life, this is what I would communicate to you. How do you know when you're having the effectual purpose? I would say, when God is at work and He is working mightily, powerfully in your life to prayer, well, first of all, there's going to be He is going to energize your faith. The very act of going to prayer is to realize, my Father in heaven, He'll hear. And He is being driven with a desire to pray. Is God moving upon His child? Prayer is not us just moving the heart of God. Prayer is God moving the child to move the heart of God. And so ultimately, God is involved in all aspects of the process. So He's going to increase your faith. So when your faith goes quickly, you're like, I believe God. Having worked in the way of God. Not only that, but I believe what God is going to do is He is going to stir a love for God. What does that look like? It looks like I get down here on my knees. And I said all my prayers, I got through everything. We can be pretty rote. I can be pretty rote. And God is stirring and He's working mightily in your heart. I'm not saying it's bombastic. I'm not saying it's so powerful, but there's an aspect of energy, of purpose. God is getting a hold of your heart all of a sudden. You care about God. You care about God. You realize that need something. Begin to respond with a desire to see God. You're not content that God does nothing in your prayers. Begin to expect. Part of my experience when God is working in this way, God's working mightily, there is a clarity of petition. I think there's an element that even comes from this word, the fervent prayer of. This has the idea of specific request. The example of Elijah is going to pray earnestly. He does not say, "Dear God, please turn veil." That's a wonderful prayer. That's the heart behind it. But he goes beyond that and he says, "What? What does he pray for?" Withhold the rain because your covenant promises. Have promised us that if we depart from you, you will not send the rain upon us. And he begins to pray on the basis of the word of God for God to do something specific. You know what? I think when God is working on you, it's hard for God to answer general prayers. God, because how are you going to know? An answer. God is going to start to like narrow your focus, and he's going to lead you by the Spirit of God to pray for things. If you get up, you'll have something. Pray for something. You may not even have known you're going to pray for it. You got down. God does. Number four, not only faith, not only desire, not only clarity of petition, but I believe boldness. God is working on you, all of a sudden, a man starts saying things to God, a man may not seem to have the right to prayer. I am always stunned at Daniel. As he gets to me, he's praying. I mean, Daniel recognizes that he's in the right place. But when he gets to the end of that prayer, he says, God, you forgive. God, you don't delay. And it's not in the petition, Lord. It's in the command. He's giving imperatives to God. And when God begins to stir your heart, you begin to get a desire and you get an assurance that what you're asking is totally in the will of God. And you begin to have a boldness for God that you say, God, I must happen. You must do this. When you get up, you don't feel like you've got God by the horns. You feel like God's going to do it. It is total. I guess I should pull this in. There is greater five. God is working mightily. He's not me. I have to have this God. You must give me what I want. It is a breaking of yourself. Like, what happened to Jacob? He wrestled with God, and he got up with the wind. God touches you. God is moving upon your heart. You get up. Sixth thing is personal. When you're talking to God, you don't think that you're just listening. It's not a one-way. You are talking, and listening, and interacting with God. You are having a supernatural conversation. You may begin to start something. I start a prayer and I begin to pray for something. All of a sudden, your spirit just refuses. You're thinking, the only reason I pray is you follow. And he directs you. Oh. That's all right. Time out for the young girl. Poor thing. Sorry. So there's a personal communication between you and God. You know He's here. The seventh thing that I see from the scripture is that there's a persistence. You're so confident that God's will, that this must be done by the glory of God. You're expecting it to take place, that you don't. Because it's not about me. It's not about a test. It's not throwing out a fleece to see if God's going to answer it. It just must be God. You can pray and pray. Sometimes your desire, it's not about the multitude of people of words. It's not because I've asked Him 10 times. Now God has to do it. There is something, there's a parable that talks about the unjust judge. He's not unjust, but He is the judge. And there are His people, His elect, who have been persecuted and need to be avenged. And God says He will answer them speedily, though He bear long. One parable. All kinds of paradoxes. Ultimately, God wants us to go like that widow. Just keep knocking. Opportunity. Come. God will just press upon you the need to have God's sufficiency. So when God begins to do actual work, you begin to pour out your hands. God says, prayer. God has a solution. Every one of our worlds, every one of our sin problems, every one of our ministries. This is why I think there's an element. Where does righteousness fit in? I'll just close on this. We could tend to think that it's our righteousness that earns the answer. But soon as I say that, you know that that's not true. It's all of grace. But I'm going to ask you this. If you live in disobedience to God, and you're sinning against God, do you think that is the effectual work of God himself? And the first prayer has to be God. So there is an element that a righteous man is he's looking for a standard to make up the difference and make the difference. How many men does it take? In some sense, it's the difference. He is. And so he said, I've got one right. Amazing. If you want to be like the Lord, allow him to grow in sanctification. Feed your faith. Sharpen your desire. To declare you his intention. To stir holy holiness. To break the to cause you to experience that wonderful work of God. All right.